And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Sports Grid Radio Network, Facebook, YouTube Live, and, of course, 1090 AM. Pete Gray here along with Rock Cod Rick Mexa in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup, surrounded by beautiful weather this morning and hopefully biting fish still, too. And Brandon Hayward is here from Bite Sport Fishing. I mean, we've covered a lot of subjects today.
A lot of subjects.
Swords, man. I like the sword thing.
It's good.
Swords is cool. Like, swords is cool, and you guys do such a good job. The name is synonymous with it, and there was something you talked about earlier, and that one of the highlights of chartering a bite is the educational thing. And I just want to say, like, that's the thing that I recommend to people the most. You know, we get fortunate to have a lot of people come through the tackle store wanting to do the swordfish on their own, and, like, there's a ton of information that's available online, but 99% of it is for fisheries that are outside of ours, and there's little bits and pieces that help, but none of it is like the way we do it.
We don't have the Gulf Stream.
Yes.
We're not the Gulf of we're not Louisiana.
We also don't have to run 80 miles.
Totally.
We don't fish on the bottom. You know, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, so many of those fisheries are all about getting your bait on the bottom and keeping it on the bottom or keeping it very close to the bottom. And, you know, they fish in 2,000 feet of water. Well, you might be in 2,000 feet of water here, but your bites often are coming at 800 feet of water or 1,000 feet of water, halfway up or three-quarters of the way down. It's just a different deal. And going with Jake or Dylan or Brandon, like, you get the most advanced course, and it takes one or two trips with those guys to then have the knack down for yourself. It's rad. It's a very fun fishery.
So I don't know if you saw Dave Pfeiffer took our other friend Paula Poor out in South Carolina out fishing swords, and Paul caught his first sword. It was 40 pounds. It was the cutest little thing. I mean, it was just a little thing. He was holding it up, and they let it go, of course. But I mean, that's, they catch little ones there sometimes, an occasional big one. Here, it's, you don't see that little stuff.
You don't. There's two stocks of fish. One comes from the southwest in Hawaii, and one marches up the Mexican coastline. And you will see smaller Mexican fish, like Dylan's released them before. My smallest swordfish, I've caught a bigger sea bass.
Really?
My biggest sea bass is 82 pounds. My smallest sword is 74.
Did you keep it?
Pretty cool. Hell yeah, I kept it.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say.
The customers
did.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. But anyways, yeah, it's such a different fishery, and you can look to them for the way they rig baits and such, but it's totally different.
Yeah.
And we're still learning.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And a lot of great texts, a lot of great phone calls. Let's jump back in the phones, Rick.
You got it, man. If you want to get your shot to get through, again, give us a call. It's 213-432-1090. Not only that, but you can send us a text on that Let's Talk Hookup app. And again, like we mentioned, one lucky caller is going to get to do a full-day trip on board the San Diego at a C4 Sport Fishing. We're going to jump back into it and talk to Todd. Todd's calling us from Costa Mesa this morning. Good morning, Todd. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. I just had a question for Brandon and a shout-out. A couple years ago, I did the half sea bass, half lobster trip with Wes on the 28 Parker. And, man, what a great experience I had. It's the first time I've ever done something like that, a little lunch break at the lobster trap. And we got some lobsters and some sea bass. And just a great time. So thanks for that.
That's a fun trip and a great way to break up your winter. Yeah, we'd love to have you again.
Yeah.
What's your question?
A bit. You know, we're coming up on halibut season. Yeah, and I guess my question is regarding how do you target the halibut, you know, from the fish, you know, the fish finder, sandy beaches, if you could give us a little intel on that. And then what's your favorite way to rig up a halibut rig? Is it a trap rig, bounce ball, and so forth? Thank you.
Great questions.
Those are great questions. We fish a lot of halibut the same way that we fish sea bass at the island, kind of mucky water and that type of stuff. So I can't speak to fishing local and in deep water and stuff like that. And a lot of times it's where the hard bottom butts up against the sand or some sort of a transition, you know. And so once you have that mapped out on your plotter and you know where those zones are, that's what we fish. And we'll kind of switch gears and switch things over and rig up, and we'll do like a some sort of sliding weight type situation or some sort of reverse dropper loop. And there's so many different plays on halibut. Everyone has their way to do it. So we don't usually use the trap rig. I've messed around with it, but just like a three-way swivel, reverse dropper loop, sliding type situation, and do it like that. And we catch a ton fishing sea bass with a little lead head and casting into 2, 4, 6 fathoms or whatever, you know?
You
so that's our way.
You were set up on condition that you like and a piece of bottom that you like, but you had your option of having a sardine or a mackerel or a squid. Is there a preference that
I
you had?
I take the sardine or the smelt or something that, that's kind of flashy and covers some water for sure. Yeah.
So if you want to, like Todd, if you want to do one of those combo Catalina lobster sea bass trips, what's the story? When would you book?
I just booked one this morning for a group that's going to stay in Hamilton Cove.
Nice.
So they'll take the boat over with us, and we'll pay the wharfage fee, and then they'll go and stay at Hamilton, and then we'll fish them off the island. There's like 5 different ways to craft that trip. One is the straight-ahead play like I did out of Dana Wharf for a year, and like I did for years. You leave at 2 in the afternoon, and you come back at midnight.
That's a
straight-up lobster trip. And, you know, I decided this year I'm going to charge the same amount that I charged when I first started, $390 a person.
Really?
Let's go. On the Mexicat.
On the Mexicat, wow.
Click it back. You just want to do lobster? No, I'll do that out of Long Beach. I like to be able to fish the west end of the island.
A little closer. So rad about the Mexicat. You get to do things like nobody reduces prices these days. That's such a cool
move. My fuel bill will be 30 gallons. It was never like that before. So we're going to click it back. We're going to do straight lobster again. And then there's also the combo element or the overnight trip. My favorite trip is if you only have a day, if you can go on a Saturday, you take the pain and you leave at 3:30 in the morning, and you get over there for gray light, and you catch your yellows or your sea bass or whatever you're going to do in the morning. Wintertime, by 11 o'clock, I feel like you don't really get that midday fishing like the spring. So then slide into Avalon, take a break, take a nap, eat at the lobster trap. They just redid the lobster trap.
Oh, they did?
You won't even recognize the place.
Huh.
The boat's still there, though, the back of the boat.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But do that until 2, and then slide up and do lobster, and we'll give you everything we got. For some people, they're like, hey, let's do 2 sets and go in, and I want to function like a human. Other people are like, let's grind it until we get limits and go for it. We'll roll up our sleeves and do that for you too. Whatever.
Is that on the Mexicat also?
We do that on the Freeman and the Mexicat.
Freeman. Okay.
Yeah. What I actually did on the Freeman the last couple of years, it's a very expensive boat to run, but we've done in January and maybe early February, we do 2 trips a day. We leave early at 4, we get back at 2, and then we do another one where we turn and burn and go back and do it. So one's for the morning fishing set, and one's for the afternoon lobster, little bit of fishing set.
You just repowered that Freeman with Yamaha 425s?
450s. So Yamaha made the 425 a 450. We're going to hit 1,000 hours on this afternoon when you come out with me.
Wow.
With these swords, if I can share that with the world.
Yeah, that's fine.
We're going to hit 1,000 hours, and that engine has been flawless. Every Yamaha I've owned has been an incredible engine. Incredible engines. I put 7,000 hours on that Mexicat one, and it's still going strong when I sold it.
Wow.
Or, I'm sorry, on the Maritime.
Maritime, yeah.
So
how about 1,000 hours with nothing? No issue.
No issues.
Nothing.
And know what's insane about that boat, especially from a charter perspective? You can do the lowers in the water.
With the 450s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to haul out.
Wow. How fast does that Freeman go?
Yeah. I had it going 60 in the bay with my kids.
Nice.
You're going to go 60 this afternoon. You just
I'm
don't
scared.
Know it yet.
I'm a little scared.
You better bring an extra Let's Go Hookup hat.
Yeah. I think I better bring a lot of clothes,
extra pair of pantalones.
Yeah. I would say I put the long one. I'm going to dress like I'm in Montana, I guess.
Exactly.
Maybe. Yeah. But, that sounds like fun.
But
what I'm excited about.
A comfortable cruise is 40.
Yeah. What I'm excited about doing that is exactly what we were talking about, is learning how to. I've done it several times and caught nothing.
Right.
So I'm ready to kind of learn from the master about how to really do this properly.
I want to watch you catch one. I'd get more satisfaction out of that than catching one myself.
Do I have to roll it in?
We'll take turns.
Okay, good.
Yeah. I was going to say, you button pushing or handle turning? There's no shame in the rock cods game.
The wild part is I have electric reels and I have hand crank reels that we use a drill so you don't have to wind up.
Uh-huh.
But when it came time to dust off the sword gear this year, I'm like, we have to use 80s. the grade of the fish.
Yeah, yeah.
And when
it's
you
not
hook
one, of line capacity.
Totally. And when you hook one on the tip, you drive off to your buoy to pull it so you don't tangle, right?
Uh-huh.
And so you have to let line out and dump line. Like, dude, if we hook a 400 or 500 pounder, my theory of fishing was always whatever gear you put in the water, you have to be ready for the top end of the range of fish you can
yes,
hook.
Sure.
So old school long range fishing, you can use an accurate 12, but you might hook a 380 and lose it all, right?
Right.
Same thing with sea bass. Why are we using 80-pound test in the kelp? Because we're fishing for 70-pounders. And now with sword, you're fishing for a 400-plus-pound
yeah.
fish.
Crazy.
Wild. So, yeah, we're going to use the Tiagra 80 wides this afternoon.
Whoa.
And we're going to have at it.
Whoa, okay.
500 pounds.
All right. But people can do that. I mean, that's what you do. You take people out. You teach them. You have the experience. It's not a guarantee. We may not even get a bite. We may just be out there eating Point Loma seafoods and enjoying a cerveza or something and just hanging out.
I operate in a landscape where a lot of people overpromise and underdeliver.
Yeah.
I'm a realist. I tell people with the sea bass, the everything. Like, this is a big ask. We're trying to do something in a day where if you were going to go to New Zealand or Tasmania, you'd give it 3 days.
Right.
That's just how it is in California. Yeah. People don't view fishing through the lenses like when they're traveling.
Yeah.
Right. And you can't control the fishing. You can't control so much in life, but you can control the customer service, and you can make sure a guy walks off the boat with more knowledge than he stepped on with.
That's cool.
Whether it's how to cast and kind of twist his wrist around or put a little bit of water on the spool, whatever it is.
Yeah.
A guy comes out with us, he's going to walk off the boat with more knowledge, and I've really pounded that into the guys.
That's good.
Yep.
And so if somebody wants to do that, if somebody wants to do a sword trip with you, if somebody wants to do the Catalina lobster, how do you book it?
I have 3 days open. Next week on the Mexicat, you could just
down here
us.
In San Diego.
Down here, yep, down here. I have a guy on the 15th who wants to split a trip with somebody.
Oh,
if you want to split a trip and not have three or four people, or you can do your own charter, just call us. Easy to find, Bite Sport Fishing, Google it or whatever.
Yeah. BiteSportFishing.com.
Yep.
BIGHT, SportFishing.com.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Very good. Cool. You have a great text.
I did, in terms of us talking sword fishing, is hey, I'm super curious about this. My question is the end game of sword fishing. Where do you plant the gaff on a sword to get it to the boat? Do you go in first with a straight gaff, or do you go in first with the flyer? That's from Huey and Torrance.
Good questions.
You gotta, if you get a shot, you gotta take that shot, right? So that might mean reaching out with the long gaff and getting a gaff in it and then hitting it with the flyer. That flying gaffs are short. We have longer ones, custom longer ones that Dylan made. But you gotta take your shot, man. Because if you don't take your shot, you have a chance of losing it. I went as an angler with Jake, hooked one the other day, and that thing was up flagging on the surface 35 feet from the boat before we lost it. You know what I mean? Like, you lose so many of them close end game.
And
so
when you stick a gaff in it, do they flip out?
They're like any fish. It's like a bluefin or anything. Yeah. Some of them are docile, and other ones you're going to school, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, take the first shot and aim for the shoulder, like anything. It's a soft fish.
That's
like,
the
that's
biggest problem.
They're soft. Yeah. And you pick them up by the face, like, you can rip the whole face off. That's why we pull so many hooks.
Ah.
Yep.
One thing, too, is, you know, we hear a lot of problems. You know, we get the tales of wolves. I think a lot of guys maybe make a mistake trying to use the flying gaff first, especially people who have never used a flying, which is 90% of us. I mean, we don't use
not an easy
gaffs every day out here. It's a technique thing, and I think a lot of times, especially if you have the luxury of having two people able to stick a gaff in them, I think all of us have used a straight gaff a whole bunch of times, and most people haven't used a flyer. And if you've just got the flyer as the backup man, like the first guy hits it and brings the fish to the boat, and if it's a docile one, then you can take all the time you need to then really position that flyer well and put it into the fish. And even if it's going ape, you can still reach in just the same, but you're not relying on that and then having the head fall off or not penetrate, or you hit it in the wrong spot, or you didn't realize that zip tie was just there to hold the hook and for a retail reason, and not it's just there's so many things that can and do go wrong with a flyer. I think going in with a straight gaff first just solves some of the problems.
Yeah.
Unless it goes wild and pros and cons everything. Like,
totally. And if sorry.
No, you're right. I mean, if you did hit with a straight gaff and it went crazy, and you done that with a flyer and it was attached to the boat, then maybe you got that one and it didn't. So.
And seasons past that we call those 150s, like stalker grade, a couple of years, that was like our average sword, you know? You can treat that fish like a tuna. Yeah. If you have three guys who
but
are capable
and know what's up. But if you see a 400 or 500 pounder, it's like,
yep.
It's a little different deal.
Yep.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's got to be scary when that.
It's so gnarly that you can go fishing in California and have a shot at a 400-pound fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trophy.
The 300-pounder that Neil and Blake and I got years ago, it broke two of the gaffs that we had. It ripped off all the gaffs multiple times. We had three big guys that all had straight gaffs into it multiple times, and it was still able to rip off of all of them and then swim away.
But that was a surface sword,
yeah,
right?
And then continue to fight us. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a surface one.
But I just mean to the nature of how tough those things are.
But I'm wondering, if, and Brandon probably can speak to this, are the surface ones tougher than the ones you catch from the deep? Are the ones in the deep?
I think the ones from the deep after the three-hour mark become a surface sword. They've accumulated. Dylan chased one for 8 hours, at no point had control over it.
Yeah.
Story from last week. Kid had one on for 12 hours. Like, it's just such an incredible beast, you know? You get a shot around an hour and 45, around 2.5 hours on the deep drop swords, where if you can kind of manipulate things, you can kind of hopefully get them, and they haven't totally woken up. But yeah, once your battle goes into that longer phase and everything, you're up against it a little bit. Yeah, ooh.
They're so tough. That's what makes them so cool.
Just badass.
The baddest ass of the sea, man. Totally.
Yeah. A lot of people. There was this debate: surface sword and deep drop, and a deep drop isn't a sword. Who freaking cares, man? Yeah. They have different characteristics. Yeah. They do something different. You know what's really freaking cool? Catching them either way. Who cares what your opinion is? You're catching a swordfish, and when you hook them on deep drop, you go slack, and then 30 seconds later, there's a 300-plus-pound fish jumping in a totally different direction of your line.
Yeah, exactly. From 1,600 feet down, or 1,000 feet
now
down.
Now imagine that happening with the Avalon Casino in the background.
Yeah, like,
the lights
how
are
cool
pretty
is that,
incredible
huh?
with that fish.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's jump on the phones. They're packed. They want to talk to Brandon.
Kaya from Point Loma's up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's good.
I have a swordfish question for Brandon.
Let's go.
All right.
I know her, by the way.
Oh, you do?
I've been a few times, and I've witnessed various tip bites. But I just have to know, what is your preferred piece method?
Ooh, what a question.
You got to
come on the boat to see that. I don't want to answer that right now.
There you go.
The preferred
right.
The perfect preferred tease method. So there's two schools of thought. One is you can just leave the bait there and let them whack it around, and the other is you can do the East Coast style where you drop the bait, lift the bait up, and do certain things. So proprietary information. I'm going to leave that one alone.
Yeah, you got to go on a charter and figure that out. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. Nice to hear from you. Appreciate that. Hey, Gary from Huntington Beach says, good morning, Pete, Rick, and Brandon. Our group has fished with Captain West last several years and had some fantastic fishing. Do you run swordfish trips from Long Beach, and what time of year is best? And if I were to try swordfishing on my own, what gaffs would I have safely to land one? Flying gaffs, I presume, are how we already covered the gaff kind of thing already. But what about do you do trips out of Long Beach, and when is the best time?
We do. I've caught double-digit swords on, I'll just say this part, an individual rock off the east end of Catalina Island. That's kind of my go-to the first couple of years. Different styles of this fishery, open water and such. So we do trips up there.
Yeah.
Especially when they're biting.
Well, look at Bill from PCS, man. That guy's like he just goes out and puts it in drive, stops on a place, and then catches one.
Jumping in the boat.
It's like, what is that all
about,
right?
So, yeah, no, they're everywhere. They're all over. So, and I have a friend who caught one up there, and there's been a little bit of fish up there. So we definitely do those trips up there. It's nice because you can splice in Catalina and all that. And in terms of gaffs, I would get the biggest, meanest AFCO gaff you could.
Yeah, they make a really big, mean flying
gaff. They make incredible hardware products.
Yeah, their hardware is unbelievable. Those gaffs. How long of a gaff? If you have a 25-foot boat, and based on what we just talked about, I'd have a flying gaff.
I'd have a 30-foot flying gaff.
And then how long of a second gaff? How long like a straight gaff?
Yeah, I'd have my long gaff long.
As long as
long,
possible.
15, 12, like a big one to reach out. And the longest flyer you can buy off the shelf, I think it's 8. Is it 8 feet? Or?
It's tough. So it's the reason most of them are, it's 6 feet is like the standard flyer. And the reason is because of IGFA regulations. So like AFCO makes the flying gaff that most people buy. And AFCO only makes a 6-foot handle because of IGFA reasons. Like they don't want a guy to have an 8-foot flying gaff handle. takes you out of IGFA legality.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares? Is my, you know, I could care less about that. But they're not about to cause somebody their world record because they sold them too long of a handle. With that said, the reason you did exactly what you did, you custom make longer ones. You take IGFA contention out of it, but a swordfish shoulder on the grill is a whole lot more important than being compliant or not. But that's the problem. That's why you see most fly gap handles are six feet in length for reasons of IGFA.
Yeah,
gotcha. All right. Hey, let's find out what's biting with our fishdope.com reporter, Yosef, from the Angler's Realtor. Good morning, Yosef. And go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I was just going to say that catch report, it is sponsored by Fisherman's Processing. The Fish Pros, what more can you say about those guys?
Yeah.
So busy, such high professionalism. It's where you go to get that premier processing experience. You can check out their easier online system for your processing orders, for your long-range trips. With more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or check fishermansprocessing.com and be sure to make that reservation today. We got Yosef on the line. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Well, not a lot going on right now. Getting into kind of winter mode here with the fishing. Start up north with Santa Cruz. There's still lots of squid on it. They're pretty plugged. Not a lot biting, but they're there. One thing that did pop up is some barracuda around Point Foreman in the San Pedro area, which is a little late in the season, in my opinion, but that's awesome. We still have a little bit of yellowfin near SEI on dolphins. They're moving super fast, and they don't really want to bite. One guy out there chasing them around yesterday, and I think he got one or two, Danny said, but it's you know, slim pickings for the most part, and the weather was really rough. Yellowfin down south near Cold Net, the weather was great down there over the weekend. Coming home, not so much, but they did good. Coming up the line is very slow, 6 knots, from what Danny said. That he was getting, you know, checking out all the boats coming up. But they're all coming up a little bit late from the weather. But down south, it was beautiful. And I guess the elephant fishing was still, you know, going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's November. Things are winding down, but there's still fish to catch, right?
Definitely, yep.
Yeah.
You get down there off San Martin or, you know, Colonnet area, and there's still lots of opportunity.
Yeah, for sure. And, of course, fishdope.com, $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $30 code. And somebody wants to work with the master realtor of San Diego. Yosef, how do we find you, Yosef?
You can give me a call, my cell phone, 619-277-2169. Shoot me a text. You can get me on social media at Cal Realty on Instagram and Facebook. If you need an evaluation on your home, go to SoCalHomeEval.com, and we'll give you an instant home evaluation.
Yeah, and no obligations. Just put it in there.
No obligations. We don't bother you. We don't call you on the weekends asking you to sell. We just are here for you when you need us.
Gotta love that. SoCalHomeEval.com.
You got it.
All right. Thanks, Yosef. Appreciate that, and we'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thank you, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it, buddy. Hey, I want to remind us that report sponsored in part by Norisk Lithium Batteries. They are here in Southern California, designed specifically for marine use. Norisk Lithium features prismatic cells for extreme durability, solid connections, longevity, and reliability. The Norisk Guardian Advanced Battery Management System allows you to monitor the health and the charging status by using an app on your phone. Norisk also makes a complete line of kayak and electric reel batteries, making investment in the best for your boat when it comes to batteries, and that's Norisk Lithium. Check NorriskLithium.com or go see the Trolling Motor Doctor or Angler's Marine at both their Lakeside and Anaheim locations for your Norisk Lithium batteries.
Hey, Stephen Fallbrook says, good morning, great show. What do you do as far as fish handling? Do you gill and gut, fillet larger fish, or send them to the processor? It's a good question.
Great question. We do all of the above. We gill, gut, ikijime, do the whole thing on our big fish. And the nice thing about running out of the landing when we're down here is that the whatever processor you want just grabs them off the boat in the morning. So we make a nice slush.
How nice is that?
Get a little ice cream salt in there, bring it down to temp. So fish care is a huge thing for us. Smaller fish, your sea bass, or if you don't want to pay for processing, it's something we do, and we include it in the price.
Do you
the
really?
Extra charge. So yeah.
Wow.
Yep. So we'll do it for you, or you can have the processor do it. And I've ran trips up north and ran our fish. You know, Jake lives down here. He'll run people's fish down to the processor for them. So whatever people want, we'll do that.
Now, I've heard it said you have to scrub the inside of the belly of a swordfish. Is that true?
Yeah, there's a whole step that Dylan's a master at as well, and scrubbing them out and cleaning them down and doing all of it. And that fish wants to live on ice for a while, a while before you cut it, like three days.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So how do you leave it on ice? You cut the bill off, you cut the tail off?
Yeah, we just make it a big flesh log, cut the tail off, cut the head off at the dock and all that other stuff, and just pack it on ice.
Pack it.
If the processor grabs it, we tell them, hey, leave it in the walk-in for a couple of days for the guys.
Gotcha.
What's wild, too, is those things will burn through ice right off the bat, too.
Right.
So much more than a tuna does. Like, if you put them in there, like, I was just blown away at, you know, we're used to having a bluefin of the same size, and, you know, you get them all hollow and put ice in the belly, and it is what it is, and, your ice lasts pretty long. I couldn't believe how fast we burn through ice.
Where's it going?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Why is that, you think?
That's just such a different animal. Dude.
Yeah.
Who knows? It's possessed.
You said it best. They're just badass.
Yeah,
they're tough in every way. Even if you cut their head and tail off and put them in a kill bag, they're still tough. You
know?
They're just cool fish.
Well, let's jump back in the phone.
You got it, man. How about this time we talk to Sean? Sean's calling us from Irvine this morning. Hey, Sean, welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Sam, excuse me. Sorry, Sam.
Sam.
Good morning. Hey, Brandon. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, Sam.
I'm happy to hear about you, cats. Are you going to use those Mexicats for swordfish as well, or is that going to be an island boat? I know you got those, and I'm hoping to get out on one here pretty soon.
Yeah. So that Mexicat, we built that boat with swordfish in mind. Swiveling rod holders, Gemlux products. It has the same hardware and the same outfitting as the Freeman. So, yeah, that boat's very, very, very much built for swordfish, the design of it. All of it. So, yeah, we built that thing keeping swordfish in mind, and cool. The bow of it, that boat rides. Things with cats is weight is a consideration, right? Uh-huh. I already want your weight. So Dylan got one on there, and that thing with a 230-pound sword up in the bow ran better than it did with no weight up there.
Really?
So really cool. Really cool. Yeah. So, yeah, that thing is sword ready for sure.
Okay, sword ready, lobster ready, sea bass ready, bluefin ready.
All of it. That boat's going to fish beautifully and 12 feet of water at Catalina.
Nice.
Yeah.
And be able to do it economically.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a cool,
and a nice,
keep the price
and a nice,
down.
And a nice ride, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because yeah. Gas is a factor these days.
What's the problem right now? Everyone's feeling the pinch of things costing more, right? Everyone in the small boat industry, I charged more than anyone for years because I knew what things cost.
Right.
Everyone's hit the ceiling.
Right.
And so now it's like, how do we make it so that fishing's a little bit more affordable for the small boat guys?
Yeah. All right.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming here, including more of your phone calls and texts. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Been thinking of purchasing a new outboard? Don't delay and purchase a brand new Yamaha outboard and a great deal during Yamaha's Why Wait for Spring sales event. From now until December 6, 2024, eligible new 25 to 2.5 horsepower outboards come with up to $500 in dealer credit. New Yamaha 450 to 425 horsepower outboards include 7 years of coverage protection, and new 350 to 30 horsepower outboards come with 6 years of coverage protection. No need to delay during Yamaha's Why Wait for a Spring sales event. Visit your local Yamaha dealer today. Yamaha, reliability starts here. Offers December 6, 2024. Subject to change, other restrictions and conditions apply. Sport models included. New 2.5 to 25 horsepower four-stroke outboards is dealer credit up to $500 based on horsepower towards MSRP value of goods and or services purchased at the authorized participating dealer that sold the outboard. At no extra cost to consumer. New 425 to 450 horsepower is the 24-month Yamaha extended added 60-month factory limited warranty. New 30 to 350 horsepower is a 36-month Yamaha extended service added to 36-month factory limited warranty. See authorized participating Yamaha upward dealer for detail. Cannot be used with any other Yamaha.
The best just got better. Shimano is proud to introduce the all-new Talica 20A and 25A reels. The Talica series is Shimano's flagship two-speed lever drag reel. It sits at the very pinnacle of the offshore world. The Shimano's Talica success is driven by its durability and spec attributes. attributes, allowing the series to differentiate from other lever drag reels within the market. The Talica is built around a cold forged machined aluminum one-piece frame. The all-new Talica 20A and 25A now boasts Infinity Drive. Infinity Drive employs two drag washers housed in the side of the reel, allowing for an ultra-smooth, powerful drag system while at the same time increasing winding power under a load as much as 40%. There's also a new lower low gear. If your utmost concern is performance without compromise, Talica 20A and 25A are the reels for you. Available now at your local Shimano dealer.
Quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslanderSportFishing.com.
I've had the opportunity to fish many places in many different types of water, but never have I fished a place as much fun as Katmai Lodge in Alaska. Hello, my name is Harold Davis, typically fishing in the ocean, but this is an experience that you have to try for yourself. Fish natural rivers with tens of thousands of fish coming up. And they have all the gear. Spinning, bait casting, fly rods, kings, silvers, pinks, sockeyes, and my favorite, the chums. Outstanding food, outstanding accommodations, great service. The lodge is located in the beautiful Katmai National Park, filled with amazing wildlife. Brown bears, moose, eagles, otters, and it has spectacular scenery. And also the fact that the lodge is located right on the Alagnac River and your boat is just steps away from your room makes it great. Do yourself a favor, call Charmel at 1-800-330-0326 or go online katmai.com, and like Pete says, they will hook you up.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a great show this has been so far. Still plenty of time to get through. If you want to join us this morning, 213-432-1090 is the way you get us on the phone, or keep those texts rolling through on the Let's Talk Hookup app.
Let's go down to La Paz and talk to our good buddy Eddie Dama. Good morning, Eddie.
Hey, Eddie.
Hey, good morning, Pete, Rick, Brandon. How are you?
Hey, doing great. How are you? So great to hear from you. We miss you.
Yeah, it's been way too long. You know, Pete, it's kind of like a blast from the past talking to you right now because, you know, when I first started in this industry 23 years ago, Rick Maxa was my first Western Outdoor News rep that I ever had. And shortly after that, Brandon was my rep there at Western Outdoor News. So it's great to be on with you guys.
Wow, you're really talking old school. Yeah. Of course, after long stint down with the Van Wormer Resorts, now you've moved north just a little bit, and you're now operating out of La Paz, right?
Yeah, you know, after 23 years down in East Cape, I wanted to make a change, and so I went looking for a good quality operation that I felt comfortable repping and selling fishing trips to, and I came across Baja Pirates. I've known Leonard Phillips, the owner of Baja Pirates, for about 15 years now, and so I hooked up with him, and they've got a quality operation up here. They sell complete fishing trips where we book your hotel, your fishing. Their packages include everything. So what's great about these guys is, you know, it's a one-stop shop. We, you know, for one price, it includes your hotel, your fishing, your breakfast, your lunch on the boat, even your water on the boat's included. Your fish processing is included. Your fishing license is included for the same price. And then also your transfers, your ground transfers from the La Paz airport. If you do go into Cabo, it's a little bit more, but from La Paz, it is included. And the great thing is that starting later this month, Alaska Airlines is going to start flying from L.A. into La Paz. So that's going to help us tremendously. And out of San Diego, there's always, you can go TJ to La Paz. They got some really affordable flights out of Valaris if you just take the TDX across and fly out of TJ. So a lot of great options. And what really drew me to Baja Pirates, not only do they have a La Paz operation, they also have a Mag Bay operation, and that's something that really piqued my interest. I have a lot of clients that have really wanted to fish Mag Bay for a long time, but they just didn't know how to put the packages together. They were like, well, how do we do it? We got to book hotel, we got to book fishing, and how do we get there? So Baja Pirates is one of the first operators that I know of that has actually put the whole package for you together, and basically all you have to do is fly into Laredo, and we take care of the rest, and we pick you up. We have hotel accommodations there. We have a fishing fleet there, and again, it includes everything. It includes all your meals, includes your fishing, hotel, fish processing, fishing license, ground transportation, everything's included, and I'm sure you guys have fished Mag Bay before. It's an incredible fishery there. It's kind of rustic, but very clean, air-conditioned rooms, internet, everything is available to you, and the fishing there is just next level. So it's a great operation, and I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, and is that Mag Bay operation, is it both inshore and offshore fishing in Mag Bay?
Yeah, you know, we're headquartered in Lopez Mateo in Mag Bay, and they have the incredible mangroves there. It's about 100 miles of mangroves. I went out about a month ago out there, and man, what a fishery. I mean, inside, it's flat calm. It's like fishing on a lake, and you're fishing for grouper. You're fishing for big snook, which is incredible fishing there. So you've got your snappers as well, a lot of red snapper there. You've got some white sea bass there as well, and then you've got your offshore, so you go out of the mouth there and you go offshore, and you've got an incredible tuna bite that's going off right now, and they've got, you know, marlin, and they've got your blue marlin, your striped marlin, your sailfish, yellowfin tuna, Dorado, so a lot of great fishing offshore. Wahoo is one of the best fisheries of Wahoo anywhere offshore, and then what's great is even if the wind blows, you know, you never have a canceled bait, because if the wind blows, you stay in the mangroves and fish there for snapper and grouper and cabrilla and snook, and then if the winds lay down, then you go offshore and you can go and get some yellowfin tuna, Dorado, marlin, and wahoo. So incredible fishery.
What a fishery.
Really piqued my interest, and we've had clients there for the last few weeks, and the pictures that I'm getting from the captains, just incredible amounts of fish that are being caught right now. So it's something that if you've never looked into it, definitely check it out, and it's an incredible fishery. And of course, La Paz is really known for their springtime fishing. They have an incredible springtime yellowtail bite where you can get yellowtail and you can get grouper and cabrilla and snapper as well. You know, our good friend, our late great friend, Mark Doherty, he used to bring a lot of clients to the East Cape, and he would always go for his springtime fishing in April for his yellowtail fishing in La Paz. Even though he loved East Cape, that was where he would go for yellowtail. Yeah, and that's what they're really known for, is an incredible yellowtail bite in that spring, that March, April, May, June. We had yellowtail all the way into July this year, so it's a great fishery there.
Oh, man. And that Kubera snapper fishing, too, is pretty insane.
Kubera snapper. We just got one last week, and it was so good to eat, man. Man, it was incredible.
Good stuff. So, Eddie, and the one thing about La Paz, too, is it's so affordable, too. I mean, you know, everything's going up. And La Paz, Brandon, you know, La Paz is like old world Mexico. The last of old world Mexico, it seems like.
It is. I kept a skiff there for five years. I could go anywhere in Mexico. That was the place, and it's very cosmopolitan, European type feel, and it's really unique.
It's a pretty cool place.
Yeah,
go ahead.
The beautiful thing about La Paz here is you can go, you know, like I said, everything's included pretty much, you know, your breakfast, your lunch, your fish processing, all that. And for like a 5-day, 4-night, 3-day fishing, you're looking at about $1,365 per person, and it includes all that. So it includes your breakfast, your lunch, your fishing, your hotel accommodation, your airport transfers, your fish processing, your fishing license, water on the boat. So very, very affordable. You know, the Malecón in La Paz is a beautiful, lots of bars and restaurants. So it's definitely a great place to visit if you haven't been here.
Yeah, so how does somebody get a hold of you, Eddie, at Baja Pirates?
Yeah, so basically you can email me at eddie@bajapiratesoflapaz.com, or you can call 866-454-5386.
And then is there a website?
Yeah, it's www.BajaPiratesOfLaPaz.com.
Of La Paz, okay. All right, so make sure BajaPiratesOfLaPaz.com. Be sure to talk to Eddie. He's the man. He's taken care of us for so many years, and he knows how to take care of us people on this side of the border. We'll have a good time on the south of the border.
I'm blown away on how inexpensive that is.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy. Cheap.
Yeah, really cool, Eddie. We can't wait, and really, really happy for you, buddy.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, Pete and Brandon. Thank you guys for having me on and letting me have a little time on your show, and I appreciate it. You guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks, and we'll have to get you up here in the studio sometime talking about it.
Would love to do that.
All right, Eddie. Say hi to Shannon. Nice talking to you. Appreciate the call this morning.
Great talking to you guys. You guys take care.
All right. Thanks.
Phones are packed. Same with the text. And we got a great text from this morning, guys. First off, Tackle Day was such an awesome experience yesterday, and it was my birthday. It's always one of my have-to-do things. Thanks for putting together such a fun day. My question is for Brandon. I love this idea that you talked about heading over to Catalina for a getaway with my wife and throwing some fishing. Can you give me what you think the most ideal itinerary is from all the trips you've done to pair with the hotel? That's from Alex in San Carlos.
Ah, good question. Great trip is whatever you want, but what I found is a nice leisurely cruise out, kind of mid-morning, lunchtime-ish, you know what I mean? Fish for a couple hours, maybe just catch some bonitas for your lobster bait with your wife and just kind of keep it mellow, you know? Or try to catch a sea bass for an hour and a half. Go in, check into the hotel. My friends own several of the hotels there. I can help you out there. And then slide out that afternoon, do lobster, whether she wants to come. Yeah, sometimes wife, kids, friends want to come for one set of lobster. We do one set, and then we run them in, drop them back off, and then go put our gear back out, whatever you want to do. But that's a cool way to do it, kind of that day and a half thing. And then in the morning, get up early and try for gray light for a sea bass. Or you can sleep in and be like, hey, we're going to fish the next afternoon, do lobster. So any of those options.
Yeah, that's the advantage, is you'll design it to what their to their pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's a great option, leaving kind of early afternoon, doing it like that, making a whole trip out of it.
How long does it take you to get to the island from where you're positioned?
I've made it in 30-something minutes in the Freeman before. In the Mexican, it's less than an hour. No matter what the boat is, you can get there in less than an hour from Long Beach.
How long is it going to take us this afternoon to get to the swordfish spot?
21 minutes.
21 minutes. He knows
from
exactly.
From the point.
From the end of the point.
Yeah. Takes more time to go through the bay sometimes.
Yeah. Because you can't go 60.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This bay, but like Newport, if you're in Newport.
It takes an hour
to get through the bay, but half hour to get to the spot.
That's cool.
Yeah,
for sure. I love it.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into the phones,
you
Rick.
Got it. How about we talk to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Barbara this morning. Good morning, Mike. Welcome to Let's Talk Hook Up.
Good morning. And Brandon, Mike Kiyoshima here. Good talking to you. I talked to you about your boat this week. Good morning. Thanks for revolutionizing the small boat, big fish stack. It's amazing. My questions, most of them got answered, and I hope this didn't get asked before, but for your sortie pre-rigged, I'm not a huge fan of rigging them myself. Like, do you have a go-to, and do you tweak them?
So we rig all our own baits, but any over-the-counter squid, you know, the guys spend an hour rigging squids sometimes and such, you know, and with that said, Biz and the guys that caught 400 pounders, they bought an over-the-counter squid from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. Just boom.
Yeah, what do you guys sell?
We sell two different styles. Baitmasters is the one that I like the most because it's just very clean, simple rigging, individually packed. There's also an outfit in Orange County called Boom Boom Baits, and we carry those also. We have a couple of different options that we have in the shop.
If you want Gucci and you want to fish a belly strip, or you want something that's rigged by a sword master, RJ Boyle sells baits. You can get a host of different baits. The first swordfish that I caught, which was the first charter operation to catch a deep drop swordfish in 2019, I ordered squid and belly strips from RJ, all my swordfish gear from him. I called the shop and said, talk to me like I'm a fourth grader. It's in Florida.
Oh, okay.
It's in Florida. And he'll mail them out to you overnight. Uh-huh. So you could buy six squid, six belly strip, whatever you want, and they're Gucci top-tier baits.
Uh-huh.
Yep, and you'll pay Gucci top-tier prices.
But you could buy it at Fisherman's Landing, or I know Dana Landis sells baits, too.
The shipping is what gets you on those things. You know, we have to, you know, I mean, the baits are expensive. They're $50-$60 a piece.
Are they?
It's just because,
but they're pre-rigged.
It's done. You know, I mean, that includes, you know, and that's one thing that people take, you know, that forget about is, you know, there's an $8 hook, and there's $5 or $10 worth of fluorocarbon, and then there's the labor of the guy that's sewing the hook to it, and more than anything, there's just the cost of getting it overnighted from Florida out here. But just, you know, you said it best, you know, Biz and those guys didn't want to take the chance of having a bait that was rigged inappropriately. Buy a bait master, pin it on, 450 comes over the rail. And I mean, it's a great way to go.
Not a picky fish. It's like a shark with a bill, right? Yeah. So they'll eat all sorts of stuff. It's just getting it where they are.
Yeah. RC, yesterday I was talking about his 425-pounder that he caught. He works in the shop with Rick. And he was talking about cutting the leader back on that pre-rigged thing. Because they come with giant leaders on them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Those guys were not anticipating having to wire the fish, you know, hand over hand, so all of a sudden the swivel got to it, and I don't think that, at least for our fishery, like, get that fish to boat side or as close as you can. You know, we're fishing a heavy wind on leader, we don't need an additional 20 feet.
I bought a couple of those squids from the shop the other day, like, it worked for them.
Yeah.
It's like Alan Watson said, if they can catch them, we can.
Damn right.
So I just trimmed it up to two feet, done. Yeah. But, yeah, don't slap the whole thing out there.
Gotcha.
Good tips.
I have Mike from Rosemead writes on our Let's Talk Hookup app, of course, the only place you can text the show. Good morning, guys. Brandon, can you describe in detail the fluke fishing for white sea bass? Color, weighted or not unweighted, is it different from calico bass fishing?
Oh, good question. Very different. A lot of it is sight fishing. A lot of it is fishing outside the surf zone at the islands, channel islands, and visually seeing them and throwing the fluke to them. So you fish a half ounce, three quarter ounce lead head, and then you pop it like you would like a pig and jig for bass or something like that. So that's one way to do it. You catch them blind casting, and you can catch them on just a dead stick fluke as well, like a squid. So a lot of different styles to that fishery, and that's kind of the new hot way to catch them.
Yeah. Hey, so John Christensen, our good buddy from Point Loma Seafoods, writes and says that if we don't catch one today, we can go to Point Loma Seafoods because he just got a beautiful 220-pounder that was headed in H&G, I guess, headed and gutted.
Oh, nice.
All right. 220, so that would be probably a 300-pounder.
I walk over there sometimes just to look in the case. Nice. Yeah. Because fish is so pretty. Like,
so good.
My bluefin never looks like that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'll take a piece of that shoulder fillet there, John.
There you go.
Hey, let's go live to the tribute. Captain Mike Pritchard is on the line right now. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Hey, great.
Good morning.
So, yeah, we actually got in early from a day and a half charter last night. Our group opted to play fair weather and stay out of the fog. So we ended up going to St. Clement Island and had really good fish in the... some mixed whitefish, rockfish, reds, sheephead. It worked out really great for our charter group, but we got a really nice stretch of weather coming up here, and it's going to be a nice change of pace from what it's been the last week or so with this westerly wind we've had.
Yeah, that's cool. And this week it's kind of like a mild Santa Ana condition, right, which means flat calm, right?
Yeah, for at least the next week and a half, it looks like it's going to completely change. I mean, that yellowfin down the beach is great. Unfortunately, it's getting, if it keeps going the direction it's going to be hanging out with the great whites at Guadalupe Island. It's getting to the point where it's actually out of reach for a lot of the Zone 1 charter boats and stuff here. I mean, hopefully that pushes back up, but I think we're going to start seeing some good bluefin fishing again here like we have for the last several years in our fall.
Wow, that's good. So what's the schedule on tribute?
We have trips throughout the week. We are sold out for the weekend, but like I said, this nice change in weather, I think you're going to start seeing fin counts starting to show back up in our, you know, I guess we'll call it our local fishery now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
They live here.
For sure. That's a good thing. Yeah. So, go ahead.
Friday night sold out. Sunday night, our Pete Sports sponsored trips are always great. It looks like that might be a good possibility to get out. And then we do have some stuff here throughout the week, but I think we might take advantage and do some maintenance just for the simple fact that I think we ran every month of the year so far.
Wow. Pretty awesome. Well, if somebody wants to book a trip on the tribute, how do we do it?
Give Seaforth a call, 619-224-3383, seaforthlanding.com, tributesportfishing.com. I know we're going to be in a group doing a charity event Friday afternoon, a bunch of different boats involved with that one, and then Friday night we'll be out for another trip, and we'll hopefully have some good reports for you. But I don't think this falls over by a long shot. It's great to see something other than you know, 10 foot and 20 knots in the forecast.
Yeah. No doubt, buddy.
For sure. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Always appreciate your live reports from the Tribute out of C4 Sport Fishing. We'll talk to you real soon.
Rumor has it I'll see you guys in about a week.
Yeah, for sure.
That's cool.
Definitely, yeah. That's looking forward to that.
Thanks, Mike.
We'll see you guys then.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Had a great text come through. It says, hey, guys, this is Steve from Escondido. As much as Brandon's boats get used, are there any maintenance hits for cleaning and maintaining the boat that you could drop on us? This year, I feel like I've done a little bit more cleaning than fishing. Great show, as always.
That's a great question. It's just a lot of upkeep, a lot of elbow grease, a lot of preventative maintenance, and it sounds like you're doing it, you know? No kind of magic formula aside from just carving out the time to do it.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Yeah, just got
to
do it.
Yep. I was going to say, Brandon's boys are getting to the age where now we see him at the tackle store with him and the boys going down and doing work on the boat when the boat's in. So, I can back up what he's saying. Like, when the boat's not running, you guys are down there making sure that it's always tip-top.
For sure. Everyone's time's worth something, too. So, delegating and having someone else do it is always good as well.
Yeah. Rory in Lakeside is a glutton for punishment.
Okay.
Good morning, guys. Great show. I want to start doing the nighttime sea bass thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. Glutton for punishment, right?
Yeah.
Specifically, locally here in San Diego, what conditions are you looking for in the forecast and before pulling an all-nighter?
Yeah.
Also, what are a couple setups for fishing in the dark?
Great question. That fish gets pegged as a night fish, and there's cycles where you catch everything at night. Like, if I could have one time to fish for them in late June and July at Catalina, I'd switch over to night fishing for sure, and then sometimes it's all in the afternoon or gray. Local San Diego fishing at night, wintertime, something down towards the bottom, you know, dropper loop, jig and squid, that type of stuff. When the water gets above 63, don't be afraid.
The Brandon bobber?
The bobber works really, really, yeah, really well. Instead of a balloon, it doesn't tangle up. You can cast it. So, yeah, so that float, I called it the floating hamburguesa. That's how I fished a lot from 2015 to 19 when we had a lot of that big local fish. So that's a way to do it for sure.
If you go to our YouTube channel, yep, Let's Talk Hookup Radio Show, there's a video of Brandon showing you how to rig the Brandon bobber.
Yeah,
rig.
That's my favorite way to fish them when the water's warm.
And you learned that from steelhead fishing.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Sitka, actually. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's cool about fishing. You travel and see different things and
different
get to
stuff.
Bring it home
cool.
and try it out.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it works cool. for sea bass.
Works great.
Yeah.
Works great. Works for yellows, too. Works for any time you want to keep your bait high. Because think about it.
Fishing squid.
A lot of times you're like cast, recast, but what if we just keep our bait stuck in that spot?
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup. We're going to find out who's got themselves a full-day trip on the San Diego. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Sports Grid Radio Network. Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear. Literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com. When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, Kalzahar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the Kalstar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend Kalstar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
If there's one thing we like, it's choices. And your San Diego County Ford dealers is the place to start with a full lineup of vehicles and available powertrains. Get your ideal combination of power and capability with gas, hybrid, or all electric. But more important than the power you choose is what you choose to do with it. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealers today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day and full-day trips daily, perfect for families and the novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips, targeting the best of seasonal catches. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online and get more information on the trips available, or call 619-223-1627. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a great time, what a great show, and lots of fun this morning.
Oh my
hey,
God.
It's time to find out who's going fishing on board the San Diego. Brandon's going to do us the honor of flipping that prize coin. So you've
ready?
Got a caller.
Yeah.
Send it. That's a solid flip.
That was a really solid flip.
That is how
flip.
It's done.
Yeah.
And we have a caller as our winner today. Congratulations to Todd in Costa Mesa. You are going
Todd
fishing on board the San Diego.
Costa Mesa.
Have a blast with Brawler.
Hey,
congratulations.
All right. Brandon, such a good show.
Thanks for having
me. The thing about Brandon, and I fish with him several times, I've learned so much, like sea bass fishing. I've never fished the swords with them, and so I'm really excited to learn.
Yeah.
But when I went sea bass fishing with you, I learned so much, and or yellow fishing or whatever. You
yeah.
learn so much going fishing with Bite Sport Fishing, whether it be you, whether it be Jake, whether it be Dylan,
yep.
all three of you guys are masters at your craft. And so if you have your own boat, I am going to encourage you, spend a day with these guys, and you will take your fishing to the next level.
Yeah.
I promise you.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I promise you. So how do we do that?
Just give me a call. You can Google me or Google Bite Sport Fishing. Find the phone number, and if you have a pen, it's 949-212-0719.
Yeah, Bite, B-I-G-H-T, sportfishing.com.
Yep, like Southern California
yeah.
Bite,
yeah.
Bite Sport Fishing.
So if you want to, and you can kind of just talk to Brandon or email him,
yeah.
converse with him, and just say, here's what I'm looking for. You'll design a trip for somebody,
whatever,
right?
Whatever people want to do, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, whether it be lobsters, whether it be spending half a day lobster fishing, half a day hanging out in Avalon in the lobster trap or in your own hotel room,
yep.
take your wife, your girlfriend over there, whether you want to do a hardcore all night sea bass trip. You still do those?
Still do this.
Yeah.
Still do this.
You're
they
an
got,
animal.
They
got to
be biting at night.
At night. Yeah.
Biting,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
I won't punish you unless
yeah.
you're actually biting
yeah,
at night.
Worth it. You
and that's the
that.
Thing. Is he's not going to take you to go just sit there.
Yeah. Let me
he's
comment
gonna
on
take,
that real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't tell you how many customers we've had that said, hey, man, Brandon called me and just said it's just not worth taking your money to just take you on this trip. Like, you could have so many times hear that story like, hey, we're just going to go and give it a shot. And,
right.
But you don't do that.
I like, would have had two Freemans if I just had taken it.
Yeah, exactly. So, but you'll tell him. I mean, if you
absolutely.
Book a trip and it's, you call him and just say, hey, dude, it's not right. Let's
everyone
move
wants to control and barter with Mother Nature. And I
yeah.
went this many times and this happened and try to twist the fate of everything.
Yeah.
You can't control it. If she's not going to give you what you need, you have
yeah.
to find another time, whether that's current, water temperature, weather, whatever. Just because you took Friday off, homie, doesn't mean that she's going to kind of give it
cooperate
to you.
Cooperate with
yeah.
you, yeah. So what's harder, sea bass fishing or swordfish fishing?
In terms of conditions lining up for your benefit,
yes.
I'm going to say sea bass.
Yeah.
Because you can use tools with swordfish, water temperatures, and these types of things that with sea bass, you have to be there in the exact moment for this current going
this
way or whatever.
Yeah.
You have more tools at your disposal. And swordfish, even though it gets zooed out and crowded, sea bass, someone can be on, quote, your spot, and you can't anchor, and you have to watch, even though you're there the last 5 days. Swordfish is miles and blocks, like offshore fishing
yeah.
and tuna. Sea bass is inches and feet.
Inches and feet. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
That technical.
Oh, yeah.
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 And you'll teach people that. You'll teach them how what tools to use and stuff.
Absolutely. I used
yeah.
to be really secretive, but I'm pretty much an open book in my old age.
Yeah, in
yeah.
your old age,
yeah.
right? You're right, the old age.
Yeah.
yeah. All right. Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate
yeah, sure.
that. Again, BiteSportFishing.com. And thanks to JP for manning the phones. And thanks, of course, to Adam for manning the app and all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app and website. Appreciate you. And, of course, appreciate you out here, our callers, our texters, our listeners. We're very appreciative of you guys all out there. Rick and I will be back next Saturday. Todd Swede, marine surveyor and author. He wrote a really fascinating book. It's going to be an interesting show. These guys got crazy stories. And that's going to be fun next Saturday. Next Sunday, Captain Andy Cates from the Red Rooster 3. That's going to be fun, too. See you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, Sports Grid Radio Network, 1090 AM, and YouTube and Facebook Live.